next 2 days actually, that our original director, Jimmy Davis, passed away. I was visiting with Dave Seifler at the time, June 27, 1981, and we received news that the director had passed away. I've been involved in this camp. This will be my 49th summer at the camp, and it was my spiritual home. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I was saved May 5th, 1958, and by June of that year, 1 month later, I was at the boys' gym club. So here's a boy with almost no Christian background, totally immersed in this environment where boys who have been invited because of the soft heart for Jesus Christ from all over America and Canada and Mexico, and since then even internationally, all come together to learn to be discipled, to love Jesus deeply, and express Him vividly. That's our mission statement. So I was there my first summer, 10 weeks. Never been away at a camp on my own before, and I just loved it. The Lord just took me in the hand. I feel like I may be the most pampered Christian there is, because He gave me this wonderful surrounding, and then I became a counselor, and eventually I'm the director here today, and it's been my spiritual home, and it's kept me young. The original director said, if you want to stay young, associate with young people. If you want to die young, try to keep up with them. No, I don't try to keep up. I just hang around with them and try to keep their youth in me as well. The JIM, the gym club, means Jesus is mine. The original director, his dad, was a railway engineer, and he was a rough man. We called him the Grizzly Bear. He said he was the most cussing, chewing, spitting, smoking, swearing, arguing, fighting, cussing man you ever saw. And when he got to be a Christian, he became just the opposite. So soft, so mushy in his heart, he could not even give thanks at a meal without breaking down and crying. So whenever he tried to witness, it would just choke in his throat before he could get started. And he thought of having a jeweler's pin made, quite a bit like this one, same colors, of the same size, with Jim on it. And the guys on the railway would see him, and they'd say, we know your name, well, how can you get your name on a pin? And he'd say, well, this isn't just my name anymore. J stands for Jesus. I stands for His. M stands for mine. Jesus is mine. Is He yours? And sort of opened the door. God was talking, and that became a way of getting past this overly tender heart, and he shared his faith. And tens of thousands of these pins have gone around the world now as a testimony to Jesus Christ. All the boys who are invited to gym club are chosen because they're already believers, or believe that they are believers. Not only that, but they have an unusually soft heart that's ready to be challenged by God and to maximize their potential. We like to catch them before they're teenagers, so that when they go into their high school years, besides their assembly training and their home training, they'll have that extra thing that will help them stay on the rock in Jesus Christ and not falter through those teenage years. We're starting our training week for counselors this week, and we start regular camp next week. So the young fellows you see here today are CITs and counselors at the camp. All of us Canadians, hope we won't hold that against us. We didn't bring any cold weather with us, obviously. It's a nice warm day. And we're going to just basically maximize this. Jesus is mine. We're going to go back to the simplicity of the salvation that makes Jesus ours. A, B, C. It's so simple as God can understand it. And then as we go through presentations with puppets, with gospel magic, with mime, with juggling, and with music, all of it centered on the fact that Jesus can be yours. And you can say with a heart of assurance that Jesus is mine, I am His, I am my beloved, He is mine. We pray that that's your heart's answer today to God's invitation. If not, we pray that you might come to faith in Christ today and to hear once again that Jesus can be yours. I'll ask these fellows to stand up and introduce them. This is Marc-Daniel Belair. He's from Quebec. He's one of our counselors, and he's here all summer long, 8 or 9, 10 weeks of the summer, and he is a premier counselor. He just has a tremendous heart for kids, and he's gifted musically. You'll hear him a little bit later on musically, and you'll also see him do a mime. This is Nathan Scott. He's from Hamilton, Ontario, just west of St. Catharines. Nathan will be doing some juggling for you and some gospel illustration and magic. This is Daniel Denoni. He's from St. Catharines, Ontario. Another gifted guy musically, and he'll be singing and playing for you later on. He can play hymns that have been pre-written, and he writes a lot of music himself too, and he's also a counselor at the gym club. My name is Brian Stakely, and we're glad to be here at Blaisdell today. Pray that God will speak to your heart as we present.
How many of you here like to play with blocks? All right, let's try a less embarrassing question. How many of you here used to play with blocks? Okay, that's pathetic. I brought with me here three blocks. These are special blocks. Each one has a letter on it. And each letter represents a certain part in the salvation, the plan of salvation. The A block stands for all. All have sinned. The B block stands for behold. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. And C stands for call. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Now, the plan of salvation did not start here on earth. It started in heaven. I would like this path here to represent heaven. Because heaven is a long way away from earth. The place is away from the sand. Now, as I place each of these blocks in the hat, I'd like you to say what it represents with me. A stands for all have sinned. B, behold the Lamb. C, call on the name of the Lord. Now that just leaves me with this spindle. This reminds me of a story. There's a little boy, Jimmy. He didn't really like geography class, so he decided to try to sleep a lot in geography class. His teacher, of course, didn't really like this much. So one day, he decides to put Jimmy on the spot. So he woke him up and said, Jimmy, is the world flat? And Jimmy said, no, sir. The teacher asked him, is the world square? Jimmy said, no, sir. The teacher's a little impressed. Maybe he's been going over his notes. So he asked him one more question. Is the world round? And Jimmy said, no, sir. The teacher was really confused. So he said, Jimmy, the world isn't flat. If it isn't square, and if it isn't round, then what is it? Jimmy said, I don't know. My dad says it's crooked. Well, Jimmy was a little bit more right than he realized. This world is pretty crooked because of our sinful nature. And that's why God sent the plan of salvation with his son to earth. Now as I move each of these blocks back to the spindle, say what they represent with me again. C, call on the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. B, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. A, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Now, when Jesus came to this earth, a lot of people didn't really like what he said. And so they killed him and placed him in an empty tomb. Most of you know the rest of the story. He didn't stay in the tomb. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Just like when the disciples ran to the tomb, they didn't find his body in there. It's like when we look in here. We see the C block. We see the A block. Where's the B block? The B block, the Lamb of God, was in heaven. Jesus rose again, and so defeating death so that we can have life with God. We just believe. So whenever you're telling a friend about this, about Jesus, just remember, it's as easy as A, B, C.
Didn't you? Very good. Sorry I didn't send you a card. that at the front now? And how are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks.
What is your name?
My name is Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Hello.
You know you're talking to the dummy? Theodore. And you may never have seen him before, so let's get acquainted. Tell me, Theodore, you go to school?
Oh, yeah. I go to two schools.
Two schools? How come two? Isn't one enough?
No, everybody can go to two schools, grade school and Sunday school.
I see what you mean. And which do you like best?
Well, at Sunday school, you don't have to study so hard, but you learn a lot.
And what do you learn at grade school?
Nothing.
Nothing. What's your favorite subjects?
Recess and lunchtime.
And your regular subjects like arithmetic or geography or history?
I don't like them.
Well, then what's your favorite subject?
Let's see. Sewing class.
Sewing class.
Sewing.
Do you like to sew?
No, but I like girls.
You like girls, do you?
Do I like girls? No, wait!
Say what?
No, wait!
That's what you say you like it?
Yeah.
You shouldn't do that.
Why not?
Well, my mommy told me when I was a little boy, if you make a stupid face, it could get stuck for life.
Don't say you weren't warned.
I didn't come here to be insulted.
Where do you usually go?
Never mind. Let's get back to Sunday school.
All right.
What do you do in Sunday school?
Well, we sing and study God's word and we learn about the Lord Jesus.
Very good. Would you like to sing a song for these folks?
I would. Yeah. I'm going to sing Jesus Loves Me. You're going to hear it again later on. You'll get the chance to sing it maybe, but I like to sing.
Good.
I got an idea.
What's that?
How about if we sing a duet? Coward.
Yeah. On your own, all right.
Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong.
Anybody?
Yes. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
That's very good. Wherever we go, if we ask for a favorite, nine times out of ten, that's what the kids will say. Jesus loves me.
Yes, it's a good little song.
Well, it's better than a good little song. It's a marvelous song. It's wonderful. It's great.
Well, it is great for you. And it's great for these kids. It's great for men and women and boys and girls, but it's no good for me.
What do you mean it's no good for you?
Well, it's true that God loves people. People can put their faith in the Lord Jesus, but I can't. You see, to be a Christian, you have to have a heart. You have to have a soul. You have to have faith, and I don't got the soul. I don't got a heart, so I can't have faith, because I'm not real. I'm just a
dummy?
No, I don't like that word. It's not politically correct.
I see. What do you prefer?
I prefer vocally challenged. I am a mannequin American, yes.
I get you. Well, it's true, you're not real, and even these kids, you know. He looks so animated, those eyes seem to bug out, you know, so much. And he likes to make that crazy face. Yeah, he likes to look. Okay, let's go.
I can't.
Pardon?
I can't.
What's the matter?
It's stuck.
That's what I warned you. If you can't move your mouth, you can't do ventriloquism.
Fix it.
Pardon?
Fix it.
How can I fix it?
Blow in my ear.
Blow in your ear? That's disgusting.
Do it!
All right.
Oh, like dolls. They look like they're not real people. So, and they do, but even these kids, they know who's doing the dirty work. That's you, right? They know who's pulling the strings. But in some ways, even though he's not real, not like us in some ways, he's like us.
How's that?
Well, you see these people out here?
Yeah.
They look so alive and alert and happy and so on. But without the Lord Jesus Christ, all they have is physical life. Without God empowering them, you can't do Sunday school, you can't do anything for the Lord without the Spirit of the living God inside you. Physical life isn't real life unless it has the Spirit of God indwelling it.
How's it like me?
Well, just as these people really need God entirely to have real life, you need me to have life.
Say what?
Without me, you can't do anything.
Get out of here.
It's true.
Really? I don't think I need you.
Well, let's do a little experiment. We'll ask you to do something on your own, and let's let your effort to do without me represent human's effort to do without God, and try to live life without the strength, the power, and the forgiveness of God.
All right, that's easy. Let's do it right now.
Okay, we'll start right now. Without any help from me, I'll ask Theodore to do a simple thing like say, hello. No ventriloquism for me. Go ahead and say hello. Maybe you can say hi. I know you can't resist making that funny face. Make that funny face. And you're all watching to see if he's going to do it. What happened to me today? Oh, the ladies really had a miracle today. Totally on his own. He had a message. Can't happen. But then once you see my hand right in the back there, if I move my hand like this, mouth moves, move another finger and nose twitches, yeah, and get that funny face. Tilt this way, tilt that way. Use my voice to project his and you go, hello.
Hello.
Oh, there's this big difference, you see. He is helpless without me, but he gets no choice. I literally grab him by the scruff of the neck. But I want to use
it. I get no vote. It's very un-American, I want to tell you.
But that God will never do that. God offers us the kingdom, but he will not drag us by the scruff of the neck into the kingdom. He will not seize us and manipulate us like puppets. He could have made us like this. In fact, there's a lot of advantages to having a puppet. You can make him do whatever you want. If I'm not feeling good one day, I can make Theodore say to me, hello.
Ryan, you are so nice. You are rich. You are famous. You are intelligent. You are beautiful. That was really hard to say.
And of course, the kids know that's not a real compliment. So who's making the puppet say those things? I am. That's right. God wants us to say, I love you, but he will never put a string to our arm to make us pray. He will never control our voice to make us say, I love you. It's our choice. That's what it means to be real. Even a child as small as you are, you have that choice. Choose Jesus if you know that Jesus is mine.
Wow. That's great. Well, it's nice talking to you. I've got some more things. I've got a little music for you now. So listen up.
Now this mic on? I'm not sure if it's on yet. Is it on? Okay, I can't hear from over here. Okay, this, what we're going to do, I guess you could entitle our message right now, is let's get back to the basics, the ABCs. And as a child can learn, like, Jesus loves me. And I think that's the basics of salvation. So what we're going to do, we're going to do a little medley of Jesus loves me, and then we'll go into Amazing Grace. So if you know these songs, which I hope you do, then feel free to join us. I'll sing the first verse, and then you can come and join us for the next ones after that.
Little ones. for the last verse. When we
notice when you see me juggling up here? Well, there might be a few mistakes, but overall it is complete. There are no gaps in my juggling. That's the way our Christian life should be. Now, there are three things I'm going to tell you about that every Christian should do to keep a close relationship with Christ. First thing is, your Bible must be red. Now, it doesn't have to be the color red. It can be blue, pink, purple, green, or orange. As long as you read it every day. Bible study is a very important aspect in your Christian life. It's how God speaks to us. The second thing is, you need to pray. Now, if you're not praying, chances are you're going to be mighty blue. So talk to God. God loves it when you talk to Him. And tell Him what's going on in your life, and you won't be blue any longer. Third thing is, you need to witness. Tell others about Jesus. Now, here at the gym club, Jesus is ours. And we like to strengthen that by telling others about it, how Jesus can be theirs too. But then the sad thing is, sometimes it can be scary. You tend to get chicken, scared, yellow. But Jesus came to die for us. He wasn't afraid to do this for us. So we shouldn't be afraid to share with others what He's done for us and how they can share in this joy. Let's just say, you're living through your life, you're going to work, coming to the church, reading your Bible and praying. One morning, you wake up, and your alarm didn't go off. You got 5 minutes to get to work, school, or church, and so you decide, well, I don't really have time to read my Bible, so I'll just not read it today. Maybe I'll read it extra tomorrow. Now, there's a gap in my juggling. Just like there's a gap in your life where reading your Bible should be. Now you get to work or school, and you're eating, sit down to eat lunch, and you look around, everyone seems to be staring at you, just like everyone seems to be staring at me right now. So, you decide to not pray. Now, just like it's impossible for me to juggle with one ball, it's impossible to witness when you aren't reading and praying. So you're going to drop the ball when it comes to telling others about Jesus. But God doesn't want it like that. See, when I was learning to juggle, I dropped the balls a lot. But if I just left them there and decided, nope, I can't do it, it's too hard, it's taking too long, I wouldn't be able to juggle like I can now. It's just like that in your life. If you miss a time to read your Bible or you're a little too nervous to pray, maybe silently ask God for the strength. It says in 1 Thessalonians to pray continually. You don't have to just pray at meals and stuff. Pray continually. And then read your Bible. Take it with you if you miss the time to read it. And always be ready to share your faith. And sooner or later, you'll get better at it. Just like I'm getting better at juggling.
In 1 Kings chapter 18. Does anybody know what's happening in there? There's a man whose name starts with an E. Elijah. Exactly. So, I don't know if you heard this in Sunday school or not, but I think it's good to remember. There's a lot of good things that we can learn when we just review it. So, basically, in 1 Kings 8, it's a kind of story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. Now, the people in that time, Samaria, they didn't know. They didn't know something. They didn't know it was God. Statue of stone. So, what happened is Elijah called to them to come to Mount Carmel, and they would do sort of a test. See, they would build an altar kind of stone, and they put a bull on it as a sacrifice, and then they would pray, because they wouldn't put a fire. See, usually you put a fire to burn it, but they wouldn't this time. They would pray to their god, Baal, to the worship of Baal, the priest, you know. They would pray for their god to send fire. And Elijah would be the same. And whichever God sent fire, he definitely would be the true God. So the worshippers of Baal occurred. They built their altar and they put a bull on it and they start praying. Oh, Baal, hear us. Send fire. Of course. Nothing happened. So they prayed harder. They tried all sorts of things, but of course nothing would happen. It's only a stone image, you know? And so it was about noon and nothing had happened. So then Elijah said to stop. Go to the other side of the mountain, and there he built an altar, put on the bull, and then he did something very strange. He dug a trench about 4 feet wide all around, and he asked that water, 4 barrels of water, be poured on the offering. The servants went down, and they put some water in the barrels, and they went all the way up again, and they poured it on the offering. A lot of water. People were all wondering, why is Elijah doing this? They could not understand. And then what's even more amazing, he said to do it again. He said that more water be put on. So they went down, they filled it up, they brought it up again, and they poured it on the offering. Now this is very amazing. The wood was getting drenched. Everything was full of water. And then he said, do it one more time. So they went down to get some more water, filled the barrels up, went up again, and they poured some more water on the offering. So you can imagine that by this time, it was full of water. It was everything soaked. How could anything happen? Well, you know what? Elijah knelt down. All of a sudden, fire flashed out from heaven and burned the offering, everything, the water. It was amazing. When the people saw this, they knew that the God of Elijah was a true God, and they worshipped him. Now this story, it's a real story, and it's such an amazing thing that we know that God doesn't change. He's always the same God, and we have the privilege of being able to talk to the same God who does this amazing thing. And at Gym Club, what Brian was explaining, the J-I-M, Jesus is mine, and we really identify ourselves with him. We know where we stand. We know that God saved us and that he's always with us. And the same as Elijah, he knew. Imagine taking on hundreds of priests, of other people. He was alone. Elijah was, he was the only one. But the only thing that was different, he knew where he stood. He knew that God was behind him, and that he had a relationship with him, and he knew exactly where God was. And that's the thing, is we can have the same standing too. We can associate fully with God and know that he will always be with us. It's incredible how faithful he is. And it was kind of funny is that after that thing that happened in the Bible, after the miracle from heaven, if you know, Elijah kind of went into sort of depression, and he was wondering even if he should take his life or something, and I guess he kind of forgot where his position was with God. He forgot that God was still there and was still taking care of him. I think for us it could be a reminder that God, sometimes we don't see him very, you know, sometimes things happen, we're wondering where is God, but we can take a hope in the Bible and know that God was always there, and he'll always be faithful. So I hope that it encourages, I know it encourages me, and I hope it encourages you too.
Now, Mark was pointing out how Elijah lost his identity. He sort of forgot the same God who helped him at the altar of Baal. He got depressed and found himself under a juniper tree. He lost his identity. And that's the problem with my little creature here, too. He's a dodo bird, but he doesn't know it. He doesn't sort of recognize his identity. His other problem is he's not much good as a puppet because he can't move. He's just a stuffed animal. And to be a puppet, you have to have a mouth going here and hopefully not a mouth going there to sell the idea of ventriloquism. Now, if he could move, he'd be much more useful, but unfortunately, he's totally inanimate, and he never can... What? What? Why are you smiling? You're saying he's moving? No, no, see, he's absolutely rigid, can't move at all. Be nice if he could, but he can't. Now, if you ever see him move, you make sure that you let me know, okay, because he's moving now? No, see, he's absolutely still, see, can't move. Now, if you ever catch him moving, please tell me, because I'd really love to... No, see, he doesn't move. Are you telling me when I look away, he starts to move?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Look at that! Uh-oh. You caught me. Yeah, I caught you. Now, you're a dodo bird. No. Now, you have trouble with your identity. You are a dodo bird. No, I'm not. Well, what are you then? I'm a duck. You're a duck. Yeah, I'm a duck. Let me hear your quack. Clack. That wasn't very realistic. I'm sorry. That's the best I can do. You think you're a duck. Hey, I got a riddle for you, boys and girls. Why don't ducks fly upside down? I don't know. Why don't ducks fly upside down? Because they don't want to quack up. That's a duck joke. Yeah, that's a duck joke. But you're not a duck. I know then. I taught a pretty cat. So you're a Tweety bird. Yeah, a canary. A canary. Can you whistle? Yeah, listen. Oops. Who's the dodo now? Let me hear you whistle. That's a terrible whistle. Sure, blame me. I'm a Tweety. You know what a 1,000-pound canary says? What does a 1,000-pound canary say? Here, kitty, 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 kitty. You're not a duck. You're not a canary. I know. I'm a vulture. Roadkill, yeah. You're a vulture, yeah. Vultures only eat dead things. You're starting to look pretty good. Not a vulture. You must be something else. I think it's a dodo. No, I'm a rooster. A rooster. Can I hear you crow? Yeah. Cock-a-do-do-do. Say what? Cock-a-do-do-do. Cock-a-do-do-do. So you must be a dodo. No. What is your first name?
Doe.
What's your last name?
Doe.
So your full name is?
Dodo.
Who gave that name?
Da-da. Da-da-do-do.
So you are a dodo.
Yeah, I'm a dodo.
It's important to know who you are, because if you're trying to be an eagle and you're a sparrow, it just won't work out. And sometimes when you're a Christian, you get defeated and Satan discourages you and you know you failed God, and you forget that even though we failed, the verse that says, if we confess our sins, that's written to Christians, not to non-Christians. And we remember that even still we are accepted in the Beloved. We are still His and He is ours. That's important.
Yeah. Important to know who you are. I hope you know whether you're a Christian or not. That's important. I'd like to sing before I go, and then we're going to have a mime. That's sort of the opposite of ventriloquism. No talking. The birdies in the treetop sing their song. The angels chant the chorus all day long. The flowers in the garden blend their hue. So why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't you? Praise Him too. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow and the dodo, and I know He watches me. See ya.
my two small sons, they walk beside me on the road. Reason that they came was to watch the land. Daddy, Daddy, what will we see then? There's so much that we don't understand. So I told them of Moses, their father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the land. There will be so many in Jerusalem today. We must be sure the land doesn't run away. And I told them of Moses, father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the land. When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. Down the street.
Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. And yet upon the cross, I heard him pray, Father, forgive them. What have we seen here? There's so much that we don't understand. So I took them in my arms, and we turned and faced the cross. Then I said, dear children, watch.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had already this morning to remember the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread and the taking of a cup. We thank you for the brilliance of this simple remembrance, where basically each week you give us the opportunity to watch the Lamb, to go back to the place where we once knelt as guilty sinners and saw a Lamb who was there dying for us, not for any sin of his own. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.